share with us, you know, let's get right to it, Gary. Why is what we're doing right now as a culture, where we're telling people, the medical community right now is telling everyone, eat less, exercise more, that's how you lose weight. Well, why doesn't that work, and what does work?
Okay, well, yeah, let me give you a little historical background.
Okay.
This is how I like to think of things.
Sure.
Basically, for the past 50-odd years, 60-odd years, it's always been the message. The reason we get fat is we eat too much,
yeah,
taking more calories than we expend. You know, if you talk to researchers, they always say it's calories in, calories out. You're taking more calories than you expend. This is what makes you fat. While they've been telling us this, we've gotten fatter and fatter and fatter. There's been this obesity epidemic. You know, in the 1960s, one out of every 8 or 9 Americans was obese. Now it's 1 out of every 3. So of course, their assumption is that we're just not listening.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't have willpower, and then the food industry makes it impossible, so we blame the food industry because they make too much food available, and everybody's the fault but the researchers. And so what you find out when you go back prior to the Second World War, the best science in the world, medical science in the world, prior to the Second World War was all done in Europe. Specifically Germany and Austria and Italy and France. So what these people did, they didn't think of, you know, obesity. If you look nowadays, if you read any article, it'll say that obesity is a disorder of energy balance.
That's calories, the whole theory.
That's all. They said that was silly. Like when somebody tells you you're eating too much,
yeah,
they don't care what hormones and enzymes regulate your,
yeah,
fat.
Yeah.
It's completely irrelevant to them. As,
yep,
a matter of fact, they think the problem's in your head.
Right.
That you've got a behavioral problem. This is sort of one of the things that happened in the 1960s. Obesity became a science of psychology, you know. So if you're fat, you've got an eating disorder, and these psychologists and psychiatrists are going to try to train you to eat slower or to chew your food more. Or my favorite example was they would have your wife not have sex with you unless you lost weight.
Wow.
That was one of the ways trying to get you to change your behavior. The Biggest Loser,
yeah,
changes the behavior of the people. They try to, they say, instead of being sedentary, work out 6
all
hours
day
a
long.
Day, all day long, and they will lose weight.
So why doesn't that work, and what does work?
Well, what happens is, I mean, if you starve someone,
yeah,
or get them to work out 6 hours a day, they'll lose weight. They'll also get hungry.
Yeah.
They'll be hungry all the time. So it's not a long-term treatment. It treats sort of the most extreme symptom of whatever this disorder is, which is the excess fat. It treats it temporarily, but nobody could keep it up. Like, I'd love to see what happens with the Biggest Loser people, because when I did the Larry King show, one of the girls, women on the show with us, was, had been on the Biggest Loser, and we shared a cab coming home, and she said nobody maintains their weight loss.
No.
I mean, nobody maintains weight loss in real life either, because it's not natural to semi-starve yourself, just as it's not natural to work out 6 hours a day,
yeah,
you know, and burn 3,000 or 4,000 calories. You can't keep it up forever. Something else is going on. And the way you have to think of it is, you know, today we think of, like, you, if you get bigger, you have to eat too much. We know that you've taken more calories than you expend. And what they said is, whatever hormone makes you accumulate fat, okay, whatever that is, it's going to make you eat too much. You know, if your fat tissue starts to grow,
yeah,
your body's got to take in calories to sustain that growth.
Yeah.
And the example they used was a growing child.
Yeah.
This is how you think about it. When we think about growing children,
yep,
you know, children, when they're growing, are in what's called positive energy balance. They're taking in more calories than they expend. They're overeating, which is what we mean when we say they're overeating.
Sure.
But they're not growing because they're overeating. They're overeating because they're growing.
Really?
Okay?
Small
distinction. Your child is getting big. And this is why,
it's...
when your kids are growing, they get voracious appetites. They lie around the house all day. They sleep more.
Mm-hmm.
Because their bodies are growing, and then the appetite is the way the body compensates, and they don't have enough energy to expend, so they want to sleep all the time. And when we know this inherently with our children, then we turn around with fat people and we say, oh, well, they get fat because they eat too much.
There it
instead
is.
Of they're eating too much because they're getting fat.
Interesting.
So these German and Austrians vanish.
Yeah.
Okay, the World War II comes along. There's this, you know, they, unlike in physics where we had to embrace these European scientists because we wanted to compete with the Russians, in medicine we could share less. So while the Harvard people and the whole sort of post-World War II American research community goes out and says, look, it's all about gluttony and sloth.
They weren't asking the right questions.
Remember, we've talked before about Louis Newberg.
Yes.
The guy said it was
1929,
yeah,
Michigan.
The one American scientist, researcher, the most influential American obesity researcher, said, look, fat people have perverted appetites. That's what he called it. They take in more calories and they expand. They're either gluttons. Some of them just don't know better. Some of them are just ignorant. Some of them have been trained by their parents to eat more. But for whatever reason you get fat, it's this perverted appetite. And unlike the Germans and Austrians, Newberg's career spanned the war. So after the war, you'd find all these doctors saying, look, Louis Newberg proved that obese people are just gluttons. They have this perverted appetite.
So the question was never asked again,
and
it was lost.
So the question was never asked again. Meanwhile, biochemists and physiologists, these are PhDs instead of MDs, start working out what it is that regulates fat accumulation.
So the answer starts coming back.
They have to do it. The technology isn't available until 1956.
So 1956, a huge point, technology changes.
So the two discoveries, one is a way to measure fatty acids in the bloodstream. In 1960, a couple of man and woman, Rosalind Yalow and Solomon Burson, figured out how to measure hormones in the bloodstream. By 1965, we know for sure what regulates fat accumulation.
And the answer?
The answer is the hormone insulin and dietary carbohydrates. Okay.
Wow.
We secrete insulin in response to carbohydrates. What insulin does is put fat in the fat tissue. It's one of many things it does,
sure.
But it puts fat in the fat tissue. So if you want to store fat in your fat tissue or excess fat, you have to eat carbohydrates to do it.
That is the recipe.
That's the recipe. If you don't eat the carbs, you can't store the fat. You can't get fat without eating carbohydrates.
And these people that say if you eat too much protein or too much fat,
They're working on this calories in, calories out. It's all the same because they all contain the same amount of energy. But it doesn't have anything to do with the energy. The energy is irrelevant. All that matters is the effect of these nutrients on the hormones and enzymes that control fat accumulation. You know, it's sort of, I mean, it's funny because you go back and you read this idea that the energy contained in a calorie of protein is the same as the energy contained in a calorie of carbohydrates or fat. That's what people mean when they say a calorie is a calorie is a calorie. That was worked out by a German named Max Rubner from about 1880 to 1905. And he says, all the calories are the same, but that's irrelevant. What you want to worry about is how these nutrients affect what he called the ductless glands.
The ductless.
Ductless glands, which are basically the glands like this pancreas and the, that secrete hormones.
Sure. Yeah. So the bottom line, Gary, levels of insulin, if we are overweight, we'll lock in all the fat we've ever had and never release it.
Yeah, as if insulin is elevated, you cannot get your fat out of your fat tissue. And what fat that does circulate, you won't burn.
Wow.
Because the insulin tells your muscle tissue and your organs to burn carbohydrates.